This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio with guest host Jane Brown.
Well, no one wants anyone to be forced to sleep outside during this cold snap, but some are making a big effort to ensure it doesn't happen. Jennifer Evans started a movement to book hotel rooms for some of Toronto's homeless people, and she's also inspired others to help pay the bills. Jennifer joins us on the line. Jennifer, congratulations on making a positive difference. I think we've got her locked in. We just need to figure out how to get her on the air. Well, let me just tell you a little bit about what Jennifer is doing. She started on the weekend when it was very cold outside.
Hello?
Hi, Jen. We've got
Hello.
You now. A few technical difficulties. Sorry about that.
No problem.
So tell us, I was just about to tell your story because I've been talking about it all morning here on Zoomer Radio, but it would be great to hear from you how you got involved, how you came up with the idea to get some of Toronto's homeless into hotel rooms.
Sure. I was just following a Twitter stream on the night before Christmas, New Year's Eve, saw that one of the intake centers was going to be turning people down in order to because they just didn't have the spaces, and said I'd be willing to come down and help or pay for a hotel room. And then a whole group of people echoed that commitment, and we ended up getting about 165 hotel rooms committed, and we've gotten 18 people into rooms over the past 3 days.
That, I mean, it's amazing how you came up with the idea on the spot like that and ended up spending your New Year's Eve doing this. Maybe one of the most memorable New Year's Eves you've had?
Yes, I would definitely say that, yes.
Well, now, how long can you keep this going? Because it's going to be cold for a while. This is obviously a short-term solution.
Yes, we are bringing the city in actually today. We have got conversations with the city underway to find a more permanent solution, and hopefully we'll have something to report back on that shortly.
And I want to hear from you too, the Zoomer Radio listener, your ideas to make sure no one gets left outside during these freezing cold temperatures this winter and winters moving forward. So your calls are welcome, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740, toll free. Also, there are others on City Council who are trying to improve the shelter situation. One of them is Kristen Wong Tam. Kristen, hi. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
What do you think about these efforts by Jennifer Evans as a city resident?
Jennifer represents the very best of Toronto. She's caring, she's compassionate, she's action-oriented. She's exactly the type of citizen that I'm so proud of, that she lives here. I want to just say, you know, thank you to her, but also just to highlight the fact the city already has about 1,500 hotel, motel rooms under contract that they can be using for anybody. And it just seems that she's been able to reach 18 individuals that the city workers were not able to reach.
Oh, I see. So tell us how that process works.
So most of those hotel rooms that the city has under contract, and I said it's 1,500 in numbers, they're allocated for families. So if you happen to be a parent with a child, you constitute a family, and then they can put you into a motel. But as you know, that's not a sustainable long-term solution, and which is one of the reasons why in the December City Council meeting, I advocated for the creation of 1,000 new permanent shelter beds, simply because our shelter capacity is at a crisis, has reached a crisis level. We're sitting at about 96-99% of capacity across every single sector, including the family shelters, which are now sitting at 100%, which is why you have the overflow of 1,500 hotel rooms that the city has under contract.
Let's talk about the 400 shelter spaces that were approved. Are those now in operation?
I do believe most of them are under are now up and running. It's important to note that they're not necessarily shelter beds. Mm-hmm. They're more spaces that people can come in from out of the cold. So, for example, out of the 400, 200 of them are new motel rooms that are now into the 1,500 number that I just quoted with respect to increasing the capacity. Additional 110 are now at the Better Living Center, and the balance of that is then sitting at a respite center, which are basically warm-in, drop-in centers. You come in, have a cup of coffee, you may be able to grab a sandwich, and you can, you know, sit in a chair. But they do not provide you with privacy, do not give you access to shelter, sort of adequate showers or bathroom facilities, and in no way does it give anybody any access to dignity or stability.
Yeah, Jennifer, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say that's, you know, that's one of the things that we've been hearing. I think a lot of the folks that we've been working with over the past few days have, you know, they've decided to live on the street, and getting them in is difficult because they've had bad experiences with shelters or because of some of the reasons that Kristen is outlining. You know, some of them are, there can be violence, there can be theft, et cetera, and a much more permanent solution is really what the vast majority of these folks need. Many of them are dealing with mental health issues, and a considerable amount of legacy issues from having been on the streets for so long. And, you know, the indication from everyone that I've spoken to is what they're really just looking for is a place they can go to consistently to sleep at.
416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. What to do about the homeless during these extremely cold nights? Let's go to Brian in Toronto. Hi, Brian. You're on Fight Back.
Hi, dear.
Go ahead.
Hi. Hi.
Yeah, go ahead with your comment.
Yeah, so you guys were saying about the armories. Now, albeit I did a computer search where I found the Army at Jarvis and Queen is now a courthouse. How are you going to put people from the street in that courthouse?
Okay, I do want to ask Kristen Wong Tam about that because the idea of putting homeless in the armories was dismissed by council. Will there be some sort of reopening of that debate?
I think it should be reopened. The armories have been opened four times in the history of the City of Toronto, specifically to deal with a homeless crisis with extreme weather conditions. I was the councillor that did put forward that proposition that we open up the Fort York Armory and the Moss Park Armory this winter to accommodate for the shelter emergencies. That vote was defeated 25-17. However, I think that, you know, one thing that the Better Living Center has demonstrated to us is that you can get these large cavernous spaces open up pretty quickly. You have to staff them properly. You have to make sure that there are washrooms, and you have to have shower facilities. The Better Living Center does not have shower facilities. They had to bring those in, but in the armories, they do have that. Mm-hmm. And the federal government was able to issue a statement from the Minister of National Defense that clearly outlined that if Toronto wanted to use the armories, the federal government was willing to come to the table and have that conversation. But they're not going to interfere with any local jurisdiction. They're not going to interfere with city proceedings. But they did express an ability to work with us. So that was a failing on City Council's part, which is why Jennifer and other citizens have acted, because they felt like they wanted to take matters into their own hand to try to come up with a solution. They want to be helpful. But really, at their core, this is a system fail, and City Council has not done well this time around.
We had an audio clip this morning on the news of Adam Vaughan, former city councillor and MP for Spadina Fort York, saying that the federal government is at the ready to assist. Is it a matter of just asking for assistance? Are they waiting for that? Because clearly they're not going to offer without city council actually asking for what's needed.
That's right. And so MP Adam Vaughan has expressed this several times quite publicly and explicitly that the federal government is ready to act. All they need is a call from the mayor. Mayor John Tory needs to pick up the phone and speak to someone in Ottawa and say, we need to have a conversation. We'll put together a proposal for you folks on how we'd like to use the facilities. And that begins the process. And subsequent mayors, previous mayors have done this before. Mayor Lastman, mm-hmm. Mayor Barbara Hall, as well as, I believe, Mayor David Miller.
And why do you think that there is resistance on the part of Mayor Tory of calling in more assistance? Is it that he feels we have the availability, it's just that we're not using it properly?
Well, we clearly don't have the availability. There's over 500 people right now sleeping rough. That means they're sleeping in drop-in centers, they're sleeping in respite centers, they're sleeping in church basements through the Out of the Code program, and of course the countless numbers that we don't know who are sleeping on couches or perhaps in the streets or in the ravines or in stairways. So the mayor understands this. I did speak to him face to face. I looked him in the eye and I said, Mayor, the shelters are full. You need to understand what people are experiencing on the street, what frontline workers are saying. But the mayor has been very clear that he's maintaining his position, that the armories are not adequate, and he will not initiate that process with the federal government.
Just one more question on that, and obviously it would be better to ask Mayor Tory directly, but if the Better Living Center doesn't have the best facilities in terms of hygienic facilities with showers that you had to bring in, why would he see the armories as less than that?
Well, the armories are outfitted. They're practically large gymnasiums. I've been in several of them myself, so two of them, Fort York and Moss Park. And they're large gymnasium spaces. They do have shower facilities. They do have washroom facilities. And they're active sort of military training grounds. But, you know, just like we have seen the federal government extend itself and say they're willing and prepared to open the armories in the emergency shelter system. They recognize that homelessness is a crisis in Toronto. And their detailed statement to us as City Council was, we're ready to respond if you ask us to. And it just behooves me on why the mayor is so resistant.
Well, despite the opposition by Mayor Tory, at least for the interim, because he is known to be flexible and to change his mind when presented with arguments that do make sense. We've seen that in the past. So he's not the kind of person to be a brick wall in terms of not bending a little bit on his position. But you've got this online petition, and I'm sorry, I don't know if you, it's on change.org. And so far, I was just looking at it, about 35,000 signatures, Toronto residents asking for the armories to be open for the homeless. What kind of impact would this petition have?
I think it should say to the mayor and city council that, you know, opening the armories or beginning the process of dialoguing with the federal government is not going to be politically risky. Torontonians are looking to the political leaders and the actors for a solution. They know that people are in trouble who are sleeping rough and sleeping on the street. They recognize that this requires a government response. And as much as Jennifer and you know, other citizens have stepped up with generosity and action, that is not sustainable. In the long run, it's got to be a government-crafted solution. We will work with the private citizens, but it's got to be a government initiative. And that's what that petition is saying, that there's no political downside to this. Torontonians want you to do this.
And again, I want to hear from you, the Zoomer Radio listener, what you think, whether you live in Toronto or you live in an adjacent city. We all see the homeless. We see them on the street corners begging with the empty coffee cups. Breaks all of our hearts because we know that that's not right. And yet, as the average citizen, we're wondering, what do we do? How do we solve the problem more than just in a Band-Aid solution of giving them a few toonies or loonies? What do we do? Do you have any ideas on how we can help the homeless get inside on a permanent basis? 416-360-0740. Toll free 1-866-740-4740. You mentioned there, Kristen Wong-Tam, a government-crafted solution and not ruling out the possibility of involving the private sector. What might something like that look like?
Well, we do have a budget process that's underway in 2018. And given the fact that the escalation of homelessness and the crisis in the shelter system has not been created overnight, this has been on a dramatic rise over the last 2 years, 2015, 2016, and now 2017. This is our third year into the crisis. We can actually do better by proactively planning to build 1,000 new shelter beds, which I believe will actually help alleviate the major problem, work towards building sustainable housing that will be obviously a longer-term solution, and making sure that there's more mental health with addiction support, because there are a lot of people who are not able to live independently. They do need to have some wraparound supports to their shelter stays, and that's something that we can work with the private sector on, whether it's through different partnerships with institutions and hospitals, or perhaps with citizens who are willing to put up some money. But quite honestly, like, that should not be the primary driver for the solution from the government. The government needs to put together an action plan, and that action plan has already been devised in the infrastructure shelter plan at the city. The only thing that was missing was actually a political will to get it done faster.
So there wouldn't need to be a lot of investment money-wise or time-wise to get a program going, because you're saying there's already one in place drafted up.
That's right. And also, you know, one of the biggest challenges the city has with respect to opening new shelter facilities is that there's a resistance in certain neighborhoods. Resistance from neighbors that don't want to see these type of buildings, these type of uses in their neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And I would say, as a downtown, a midtown councillor, I have 25% of these shelters in the entire city capacity in my ward. We are already carrying the lion's share of the social responsibility for 44 wards in the city. What I'm saying to people is, like, please, we all need to do our share. You can't ask, you know, the downtown councillors to do it by themselves. And we all have a responsibility to open up, you know, our neighborhoods and make sure that we know that if we don't have these spaces overcrowded, if people are provided with the adequate mental health and supports and wraparound services, we can get them rehabilitated and back into stable housing and living independently and contributing a lot faster.
Okay, councillor, let's get back to the phone. Simone in Parkdale. Hi, you're on Zoomer Radio's Fight Back.
Hi there. The Armory sound like a good prospect, but I did hear someone on the radio a while back, some time ago, that someone that had been in the military, and he said there are weapons in armories, and that poses a problem.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's speak to that, Councillor.
Okay.
Yes. Well, I mean, definitely there are weapons in the military. That's how they are being trained. But then, you know, like everyone else who actually has any guns in Canada, they would be vaulted, and so they will not be in they will not be in the same space as a cavernous gymnasium. Most of the times, the cadets in the reserve are actually doing physical training, and so there's a lot of that type of work that they do, and they're not always you know, armed and shooting.
Okay.
Which might lead us to the different questions, like, what are we doing with military training facilities in downtown Toronto? Why do we have armed guns in downtown Toronto, you know, through the armories?
Yes, and that's another issue. But thank you for clarifying that and painting a picture for us. Let's go to John in Hamilton. John, go ahead.
Hi, I've heard the Red Cross can come out and assist. All they have to do is open up a shelter, and that can be done through the mayor. They can provide cots and food and blankets, etc., for the cold locations. So why hasn't the mayor activated the Red Cross?
Councillor, do you have an answer to that question?
So that's a very good comment from the caller, John. And the Red Cross is in partnership with the city. We have ongoing agreements with them with respect to disaster relief. So, for example, when we have massive floodings where buildings have had to be evacuated, or neighborhoods perhaps, as well as fires, Red Cross does come in and provide a lot of that emergency relief for us. And they're trained to do so. So they are one of the partners that I would look to in terms of making sure that in the long term and short term that they're involved. So we have worked with them before. I have one community that was a condominium who basically their building was flooded. The elevators were broken, and the Red Cross came in. We set up in the Toronto Reference Library, and literally for weeks they were able to provide supports and assistance for people. And that's exactly what they do, and they would be one of those agencies that we would be working with once again if we were able to open the armories.
Kristen, before we let you go, and we really appreciate your time on this matter, explain to us where we go from here in terms of City Council actually moving forward on some sort of action plan. I know you're using social media to encourage further action. What are you expecting to see play out at City Hall in the short term?
The Community Development Recreation Committee will be meeting again soon. That's the committee that generated the original recommendation of 1,000 shelter beds and opening the armories and accelerating the development of new shelter facilities. And so that committee will be meeting soon. The public can come out to depute at that committee to remind us that we have a responsibility to act and to lead, and that's one place where citizens can place their energy. Another one is to sign that petition that's on change.org. I can't believe how quickly that petition went from just under 20,000 when I presented the petition originally at City Council in December to now. I think it's almost 37,000. Mm-hmm. And certainly that's another place where people can go. And also just to please contact the mayor. I don't believe that there's any bad guys in this discussion. I think that there are people working from all good places from their heart. But we just have, we're arriving at different solutions, and I'd like the mayor to understand really the urgency of the matter. I believe he's back from vacation today, and I understand that that he's in his office, so please call.
Councillor Wong Tam, we thank you for your good work.
Thank you very much.
This is Jane Brown in for Libby Znaimer, Zoomer Radio's Fight Back. And for the rest of the show, well, coming up in the second half hour, you're going to want to reserve a line, especially if you're thinking about your waistline in the early days of 2018. Don't know which diet to go on. You've heard too much about too many diets. You're wondering, is there a sensible way to eat? We have an award-winning author. Dr. Erin Carroll will be on the line with us to talk about busting diet myths and the fact that you can pretty much eat sinfully and still lose weight. It does. I know it sounds too good to be true, but he swears by it. So you can grab a line now. Your questions for the doctor are coming up in the second half hour, 416-360-0740. If you don't mind waiting, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And up next, will the TTC ever get the 204 streetcars ordered from Bombardier 9 years ago? The answer to that question is next.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.